Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Hentai Corner. Here we go, gore screaming show, 2 hours, let's do it. Wait, aren't you? It's the girl they met on the mountain the other day. That eerie girl Yuka is standing right in front of her. She's looking straight at Akane with her red, doll-like lips curled into a smile. She's completely ignored everything Akane said the last time they met, but today she's all smiles for some reason. Hello, Oni-chan. How do you do? Hello? What's going on? All the happiness she felt just a moment ago instantly shrivels up like a balloon that's been poked by a needle. Yuka cocks her head with a smile as she peers into Akane's face. Oh, good for you. You're happy, aren't you? Yeah. Oh, good for you. It must be nice. Could you share some of that joy with me? Huh? Akane can't understand what this girl is saying. Yuka crosses her arms behind her slender back as she slowly walks up to Akane. I want to be happy too, right? You're gonna go out and have fun with Oni-chan, right? You get to forget all the bad, unpleasant stuff and only think about nice, happy things, right? What are you saying? Yuka cackles and circles behind Akane with skip-like steps. You're actually scared, aren't you, Oni-chan? Scared of Oni-chan? Akane wheels around to look at Yuka. All the blood drains from her face. Her legs won't stop shaking, because there's no one there. She heard Yuka's voice right behind her just a second ago, but now there's no one there. I imagine this, right? This is all just my imagination. Trying to encourage herself with those words, she tries to steady herself and resume walking, but her legs are too shaky to respond. Akane focuses on a single thought inside her heart. Right, I'll text Kyoji. She'll just do what someone who's got a lover does, only think about happy, good things. The day after tomorrow, she will have that first date she's always dreamt of. So long as she keeps thinking happy thoughts, her heart won't feel like it's about to freeze over. She tries to think about that date and nothing else. What should she wear? What movie should they watch? Where are they going to meet up? She can't afford to be late. What clothes should she wear? Akane doesn't even notice that her thoughts are stuck in a loop. She's afraid. This inexplicable, horrifying feeling that something is trying to creep up on her from behind is terrifying her. Hugging her bag tightly to her chest, Akane hurries home. As Kyoji eats the same old convenience store curry for dinner, he feels his phone vibrate in his pocket. Hey, don't take out your phone till you're done eating. Where are your table manners? But as soon as she's done scolding him, Yamako peers down at the phone in his hand. What, you got a text? What, is it from Akane-chan? Hey, who said you can look, and why do you have to assume it's Akane? I mean, you've got this dopey smirk on your face, Kyoji, so from the looks of it, you made up with her? Stop teasing me, it's got nothing to do with her. Kyoji hides his phone screen behind his back so Yamako can't see it, then walks out of the room into the corridor. As she leaves the living room, he hears Yamako laugh jovially behind him. Jeez. Leaving his curry half-eaten, Kyoji returns to his room and checks his phone. There is indeed a text message from Akane there. The movie is in 2 days, from Akane. I'm looking forward to the movie in 2 days. We meet up at 10 in the park, right? Sorry if I end up running late. What should I wear? Kyoji cracks a smile at the almost childish tone of the text. None of this really means anything, but he likes it quite a bit. How should he respond to her message? After a moment's thought, he starts clicking with his thumb. Wear whatever you want. You look cute in anything. Ah. That thought crosses his mind for a moment, but of course he doesn't actually type that in. Really, what should I wear? Kyoji starts rummaging through his drawers. Something nice? Sachan, do you know? Grandpa's standing beside my bed. That morning, when she was about to leave the house, her grandmother suddenly said this. It was the first time she heard her grandmother speak in a long time. At that point, her grandmother had already suffered from senile dementia for some 5 years. Her room is on the first floor by the entrance to make it easier to care for her. Her parents told her to stop by her grandmother's room every day before school to greet her. On top of that, she had loved her grandmother. Back when she was still normal, her grandmother was sweet on her. But now she's like a living doll, staring at the ceiling all day long. When she does move, she frets like a child and screams for incomprehensible reasons. By now, the entire family thinks of her more as furniture than anything else. They only take care of her now because of their memories of who she used to be. Their memories of Grandma's kindness allowed them to keep pretending they still held her dear. Her mother has praised her for greeting Grandma every morning, meaning she can't quit now even if she wanted to. Our little Sachio says hello to her grandma every morning. What a well-behaved daughter. When she heard that exchange after passing by chance, it became clear she couldn't possibly stop doing so. The truth is that interacting with grandma these days depresses her. She used to love her, but now she's a diaper drooling mess who's not even cute like a baby. Some part of her secretly prays that grandma would just die so they can be rid of her already. But this morning when Sachio went to meet her grandmother, we'll get that right, she surprisingly started talking. Sachan, do you know? Grandpa's standing beside my bed. It surprised her, but more than that, she was happy. Maybe Grandma was coming to her senses. But then what Grandma said set in, sending a shiver down Sachio's spine. Her grandfather passed away over 10 years ago. Grandma, what are you saying? Grandma... Grandpa's... Oh. Grandpa's standing beside my bed. He probably came to take away. Grandpa said this with a cherubic smile, even though it sounded like she was in pain when I did it. Her lips dry and rustling, her skin wrinkled, her eyes yellow and muddled, her eyes moist and her cheeks flushed. No, Grandma. Do you know what you just said? He came to take away. Just stop it. She reflexively swung her school bag and smacked Grandma with it. Ouch! Startled by Grandma screaming, Mom burst into the room. Mom ordered Sachio to just go to school. She fled the house, her mother's scolding still echoing in her ears. And maybe this is why I'm being punished. I'm sorry, Grandma. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm a bad girl. I'm sorry I said such terrible things. I really did love you, so... For... me. She wants to say forgive me, but only a bubbly, watery sound leaves her lips. All she hears is water. Her stomach is gaping open from being crushed. She can hear crunching sounds coming from down there, too. They're the sounds of mucus straining as something pulls out her innards. Ugh, she can't hear anything else. She was out late after club activities and couldn't bring herself to go home, so she stayed out even later at a fast food restaurant. But still, it's only just past 9. Why are the streets so deserted? She can't hear any birds nor cars around. Not even the park's trees are rustling in the wind. All she can hear is Grandma's voice. I'm sure he came to take you away. Sachiko's eyes helplessly look around. There's no one around. No one but the strange man that's eating her. Grandpa. Grandpa isn't coming. Tears spill from Sachiko's eyes. The days are going fast. While rummaging through his dresser full of clothes that night, he realizes something. There's still a few boxes he hasn't opened since he moved here. He can't find all his clothes. After emptying out his closet, he discovers 3 unopened cardboard boxes. He decides he'll spend the day sorting everything out. Kyoji isn't a particularly neat person, but because the person he lives with is even more hopeless than he is, he gets the feeling he has no choice but to be responsible. He finds his missing clothes in the second box, which he stuffs into his closet and his bed's drawers. But when he opens the third box, Kyoji freezes up. The box has the word "miss" plastered on it. It wasn't packed by him, but by his mother. Because of that, he doesn't know what he'll find inside of the box. He finds an old, unfamiliar notebook. This handwriting is so ugly. Wait, that's my handwriting. Chuckling at his own words, he examines the notebook's cover. From the looks of it, it's an observation diary about a morning glory flower. The words, "First Grade Class 2, Jinno Kyoji," are written on the bottom of the cover in rough, hard-to-read letters. The kanji for Kyo in his name is written rather oddly. He recalls that he hated writing that kanji because it had too many strokes. Sitting underneath the diary is an album. He doesn't recognize it either. It's probably from before he even moved out of this town. Kyoji decides to... This takes me back. What did I write in here? He starts flipping through the notebook. Most of the notebook's pages are blank, implying he didn't use it for very long. As he wonders to himself what he was doing back then, he starts reading, deciphering his old handwriting like some kind of code. It's bloom. We all planted morning glory seeds. I can't wait for them to bloom. Today was rainy, but it hasn't sprouted yet. I hope it sprouts soon. Today was sunny, but it hasn't sprouted yet. They still haven't sprouted. May 8th. May 12th, they still haven't sprouted. Why not? May 25th, everyone else's morning glories are already starting to sprout, but mine hasn't yet. What is this? This seems to be a record of when they planted morning glories at school, but the next few entries all seem to pretty much say the same thing. It does remind him of something. Some distant recollection tugs on his memory. He gets the feeling that soon after they planted the seeds, he got tired of tending to them, so he neglected to water them. It only makes sense they wouldn't grow. He smiles bitterly to himself as he leafs through the notebook. He discovers a peculiar page at the beginning of June. It sprouted! I did it! But the page looks like it was torn out once, only to be taped back onto another page. By now, the tape has turned yellow with age. Between the torn-away paper and the tape covering parts of the page, the exact date is no longer legible. There's something else written there, but it's not legible either. What happened back then? Kyoji knits his brow, but he can't remember. Maybe he should ask Akane about it tomorrow. She was in his class back when they were first grade. She has a tendency to remember annoying little details, so maybe she knows. All right, I need to pick clothes for tomorrow. Kyoji puts the observation diary into his desk drawer and resumes grappling with a cardboard box. Wow, next day already? It's the morning of the day he's meeting up with Akane. In the end, Kyoji decided to just wear his usual clothes. He chews on some toast for breakfast. Well, color me surprised. You actually woke up on your own. Can't underestimate what a girl can do to a boy, huh? Shut up. You're not gonna dress up after all that rummaging around you did yesterday. I was looking forward to seeing you look all slick today, you know. I said shut up and stop teasing me. Letting it slip that he's seeing Akane today was a huge mistake. Now Yamako's been like this ever since, endlessly teasing Kyoji and poking fun at him. Even now she's still cackling, opening the newspaper with a grand gesture that doesn't exactly suit a young woman like her. I mean, you're being so fidgety and innocent right now. Whenever am I gonna tease you if not at a time like this? You know you don't have to keep teasing me about anything and everything, right? Oh, but I mean... Suddenly, Yamako stops leafing through the newspaper. Her facial expression hardens in an instant. What's wrong, Yamako-san?
そこのリモコンでテレビつけて。ニュースやってるところないかな。
Hmm, Kyo-chan, could you grab the remote and turn on the TV? I want to see if the news is on. Kyoji does as she asks, turning on the TV and switching it to the news channel. What happened? Yami... Ah! His mouth falls open. Displayed on the TV screen is a familiar place. Isn't this just past the convenience store on the corner? That's what it looks like. Yamako places a hand on her cheek and heaves an anxious sigh. She then gets to her feet and opens the large window facing the street before waving him over to her. When he does, he sees a tense situation developing outside. There, the neighbors are gathered together talking with one another. There's a station wagon parked a short distance away. A parabolic antenna extends upward from the back of its roof, where some tough-looking guys are busily working around it. And as such, none of the missing persons have been discovered as of yet. With talk of local myths regarding people being spirited away, the townsfolk are quite visibly anxious. This concludes my report on the scene. Kyoji turns to look at the TV. On it, he sees the reporter approach a convenience store he frequents. Despite it being such a familiar neighborhood, it looks distant and foreign on the TV screen. Something else went missing? That's what they say. Yamako closes the window and returns to the table. How very timely. Huh? As Kyoji looks at her, puzzled, Yamako replies with a slightly bitter smile. Don't you remember, Kyo-chan? You helped me out with this just the other day. Her next statement helps him realize what she's talking about. Right now, I'm looking into legends here in Kurihito, the man-eating demon in the Pillar of Light. That incident involved... That incident involved disappearances at first, too, you know. People said the victims were spirited away. The return of the legend. People spirited away in modern times? Nah, that won't work. Too inappropriate. You're gonna give up on the article? Of course not. My bosses would never let me. An occult magazine can't pass up such a juicy story. Kyoji understands this is Yamako's job. If he were one of her magazine's readers, he'd definitely want to read about a case that's making the rounds, and the more exciting, the better. But seeing a case that's so close to home get treated as just a story still feels off. Despite that, none of this really seems real, so he's unsure how to feel about it. It's like he's leading a normal life, but everyone around him is making a fuss. That's how the situation feels. Kyo-chan, I won't say that you can't go out on your date, but make sure you don't come home too late, okay? I want you home before it's dark. Got it. And make sure you walk Akane-chan all the way home. Understood? Yeah. Kyoji nods obediently. Things are getting crazy. He starts to think that maybe Akane was forced to stay at home. But just as that suspicion starts creeping up on him, she arrives where they agreed to meet up, albeit slightly late. I'm sorry I'm late. She appears gasping for air. Kyoji's taken aback because she's hurrying through the park and not her usual school uniform, but in a different outfit. Ah, I'm glad they let you come. After what happened, I was starting to think they wouldn't let you go outside. Yeah, I had to... Phew! Take a lot of detours. TV crews kept asking questions. But when I told my folks I'd be with you, phew, they said I could go so long as I come back before sunset. Alright, I get it. Pipe down and catch your breath. Akane tries to explain himself, Akane tries to explain herself to him while panting heavily, but Kyoji cuts her off. He tells her to wait for a moment. He then gets her a sports drink from a nearby vending machine. Here, drink this and calm down. Ah, thanks. Akane takes the drink without protesting and wantonly gulps it down. She must have been really thirsty because she drinks the whole thing in one go. Phew, finally. All better. What are you smirking about, Kyoji? It feels like I'm watching some commercial for juice or something. Do you have to drink with your other hand on your waist like that? What, you got a problem with how I drink? That sounded a little New York cabby. What, you got a problem with how I drink, buddy? Not really, no, but you didn't have to run all the way here. I wouldn't have gone home just because you were a little late, you know? I mean, I can't just keep you waiting. She says this firmly before letting out a little sound. Oh, drat. I have to pay you for the juice. I'll give you the money. Just give me a second. It's fine. I don't need you to pay me back. Sorry, but I can't have that. Come on, it's fine. Yet Akane still hurriedly rummages through her bag looking for her wallet. Kyoji scratches his head awkwardly, then grabs her hand. Look, let's go with this. You don't have to pay me for the juice now if you pay for my drink when we have lunch. That'll make us even. Fine. So which way to the movie theater? I'm not exactly sure where it is. We have to take a bus. It's a short ride, though. They just built it last year, so the building and the screens are all really pretty. I guess the old theater was kind of ancient, but I still feel kind of bad about it being torn down. Yeah, it had this good atmosphere to it. They chat as they walk together. This isn't their first time going somewhere together, of course, but this time they feel a little, just a little bit closer than before. Just 2 days ago, they were talking about what movie to watch, but since they decided to go on a date on the spur of the moment, they don't know what movies are showing today. To that end, Akane said she would look through the town magazine and see what the theater is showing. She now pulls out that magazine from her tote bag while they're walking. Oh, here's the right page. So what movies do you want to watch, Kyoji? I'd love to see this one, and this one. Oh, and by the way, guys, there's a announcement. Amorous Professor Cherry just got remastered, and because I bought it, I'm getting a free copy. So look forward to that. It's coming. It won't be coming on the day of release, obviously. But you'll see it sometime within the next couple days. We'll definitely go through it and add it to our list, which is ever growing. Anyway. Oh, here's the right page. So what movies do you want to watch, Kyoji? I'd love to see this one, and this one. Man, like all of them? Fine, I'll check. Just look where you're going. Kyoji yanks Akane by the arm, pulling her to the side before she walks into a telephone pole. Ah, thanks. So, which do you want to see? Ah, the ones on this page. He leans in to take a look, but when he realizes how close his face is to Akane's after doing so, his heart starts racing. Maybe he's imagining it, but Akane almost looks like she's blushing too. Some of the movie names she's pointing at on the page have been marked with a pen. One of them is an action flick, the other one is a thriller, and the last is a French romance flick oozing with a calm atmosphere. So what do you want to watch? Let me think. The action flick is this kung fu movie that Kyoji has been kind of interested in for a while. But Akane likes scary stories, so maybe she would prefer to watch the thriller. And as for the romance flick, this is a date after all, so maybe it'd be appropriate, and Akane is surprisingly weak to romantic stuff. But as he weighs his options, she points at the page from the side. Let's watch this one. She points at the action flick. You sure you don't want to watch the thriller or the romance movie? I mean, think about it. You'd fall asleep watching a romance. Plus, this is the one you want to watch, right? No, I don't really... I can see it all over your face. Come on, let's go. With Akane pulling on his arm the whole way, they go buy the tickets. Seeing her so enthusiastic makes a smile grow on his face. 90 minutes or so later, the movie was pretty fun. The action was flashy, the CG was impressive, and the plot twists were exciting. There were some parts where he laughed out loud while marveling that they had the guts to go that far. But while he was laughing, he thought to himself that having Akane sitting next to him, visibly enjoying herself too, made it twice as